is Matt Hardy, the man who will not die and is stronger than death, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
Credo.
Hey.
Tag.
Wow.
You're what? In.
You didn't have to hit me so hard.
I'm tagging you. This is how this works.
This is the whole point of tag team wrestling? You just slap the other guy to get him in?
Well, I mean, I'm not. That's not the whole point of it, but I'm slapping you to let you know that you're in.
Why can't we just fist bump in?
Well, we could, I guess. I think it's any kind of contact, but that's a whole nother episode, I think.
Well, hey, I guess we're talking tag teams.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 7. I'm Steve Credo.
I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And yes, we're talking tag team wrestling, Jonathan.
Yeah, this is an episode that, you know, I'm really excited for. Growing up in the, you know, 80s and 90s, there was really a huge boom in tag team wrestling. So I'm really interested. You know, we haven't really talked a lot about this, Credo, so it'll be nice to kind of find out which of the tag teams really influenced us the most, or, you know, who we liked back then and now.
Yeah, definitely. But don't go anywhere, kids, because on today's show, we have none other than legendary tag team member of the Hardy Boys. That's Matt Hardy joining us in a little bit. He is former WWE Tag Team Champion, Ring of Honor, TNA. Yeah, I mean, the guy's wrestled all around the world. He is joining us today, Jonathan. Can you believe it?
I can't. And just a little Matt fact for all of you, he hates mustard. So
there you go. It's another one for the fact book, I guess, for everybody listening today. But yeah, stay tuned, guys. We have Matt Hardy coming up in a little bit. But you know what, Jonathan? Everybody listening right now, I want to make sure they do all that social media stuff for us. You know what I'm saying? Liking us, following us, subscribing to us, poking us, tweeting us, all that stuff. But how are we going to find out how to do that, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, you don't really have to go too far. I will tell you how to do all of that right now. So if you're on Facebook and you're looking to like us, then you need to just go to www.facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. If you're a fan of the Twitter, then we are on that. It is @awrestlingpod. What is that, Credo?
That's @wrestlingpod.
We're also on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on Podbean. That's kind of everything except for there is marksforlife.net, which kind of showcases not only us, but a lot of other shows and things. So definitely get on there and check us out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're all over the world of the social media verse, if you want to say. So Google us, Google Another Wrestling Podcast. Look for the yellow logo. You'll find us, guys. But by doing that, you're helping us out. By liking us and following us, we get to make more episodes and get to bring you more insanity that this show is. It's not insane, but I mean, it's cool. I like it. I liked our own page. Come on, guys. You could like it, too. I don't know. Hey, well, how else are you going to plug yourself and get yourself over on the show? You got to get yourself over. But guys, our sponsor for today is none other than Northeast Wrestling again. Without Northeast Wrestling, we would not be able to have Matt Hardy today. So be sure you guys go out and check out NortheastWrestling.com. They have Northeast Wrestling Under the Stars this weekend. That's August 2nd at Dutchess Stadium. And then also August 16th, they have Northeast Wrestling Heatwave in Bethany, Connecticut at the Bethany Town Hall. And if you guys are looking to be a pro wrestler, you can check out on August 3rd a special wrestling seminar with none other than Booker T. All that information is on NortheastWrestling.com. Thank you, Northeast Wrestling, for being our sponsor today, right?
Absolutely.
Tag team wrestling, baby. What? When I say tag team wrestling, what do you think about, I mean, growing up? What was the tag teams that you loved?
For me, back in the day, the first ones that I remember were either Demolition, yes, the Legion of Doom. I also remember, you know, the Twin Towers, Big Boss Man and Akeem, the Rockers. You know, that for me, the Killer Bees were one of the first ones that I actually really liked. But for me, it was the, you know, the 80s in WWF, which I really was a WWF guy. I mean, every now and then I'll throw out something from WCW that I watched. But growing up in the 80s, I was a huge WWF mark. And with that being said, obviously, like I said, the ones that I mentioned, they really were pretty awesome. And I'm right on that cusp where I didn't get to see a lot of the AWA or NWA or anything like that. And I know a lot of these guys were tag teams in those promotions prior to jumping ship to WWF. But I mean, for me, the first one that really made like an impact on me was probably the Demolition, Axe and Smash.
Yeah, I'll have to say, man, I agree with you a lot of those choices. I mean, I'm a big Hart mark. Everybody knows that. Bret Hart, I'm a big Bret Hart fan. I've always loved the Hart Foundation. I had the glasses. But before the Hart Foundation, I was definitely a Rockers mark. I mean, they were the first team that were kind of like, you know, 80s. When you just find 80s wrestling or just the 80s to me, it was the Rockers. So I really loved the Rockers. I remember looking up tidbits in magazines about them going to McDonald's and them ordering like 11 things off the menu. And I thought that was a huge deal because I was like, wow, how could these guys eat so much? It's really funny. I don't know. That's why I have like one of those memories in the back of my head. And that's one of them, of just reading about the Rockers eating a lot at McDonald's. I don't know if that even exists today or if I made it up in my head, but that's a memory that I have of the Rockers. I mean, the tag teams back then are so much better than what they are today. But I don't want to get back. I don't want to talk about some tag teams today, but let's talk some more vintage tag teams, because I mean, like you said, LOD, Demolition. I mean, when you think of tag teams back then, it was more like the pageantry. You know, these guys matched each other. They wore spikes on their shoulder pads. They had the same, you know, the face paint, you know, just the look of tag teams back then. It was two guys that actually matched each other compared to today, where it's just like, oh, we're going to pair you guys up as a tag team. And it doesn't make sense to me. But how did you feel about that as tag teams back then? Just always matching. And I don't know. I love that. I love that whole aspect of matching guys or matching two people together. You know what I mean? And I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think if you look back at the, like I said, the 80s, and I'm just using WWF for the example, but if you look at the 80s, WWF, sometimes the first glimpse that you got of a guy was in a tag team. So like we mentioned the Rockers. All I knew of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty was that they were a tag team. So years later, they would break up and they would go their separate ways. Or the Legion of Doom, same thing. Or, you know, the Orient Express or the Twin Towers or whoever we're talking about, they went on to have successful singles careers after they were a tag team. Whereas today, if you're not an established tag team coming in, then maybe you get thrown with somebody. You know, like Kofi Kingston's been tag team champion with several different people. He's been with Evan Bourne. He's been with Kofi Kingston. R-Truth. I mean, so these are just people that they just throw together instead of, you know, a tag team coming up through the ranks. Right now, the only one that I'm really aware of, you know, and is in NXT right now, that is your NXT Tag Team Champions, the Ascension. So if they bring them up to the main roster as a tag team, it'll definitely be something that they haven't done for a while. So, yeah, I think that 80s tag team wrestling was really where it was at. You had a lot of those matches that would either start the show or be in the middle of the show, and they were really a really awesome focal point to get people attracted to that. The tag team titles were a huge thing back then, and I always remember being, you know, especially during the Hart Foundation and the Rockers matches, they were really good. But you know, we've established that you were a 80s Hart mark, so yeah. let's go a little fast forward a little bit. Let's say we're now into the 90s, which was really when we were probably the deepest into our love for wrestling, because it was the Attitude Era. There was a lot going on. there was a rise in tag teams then as well. Is there anybody that stands out to you then that, you know, you really were a mark for?
That's the thing. I mean, back then, I mean, like from the Hart Foundation, all those classic tag teams, I didn't really, I mean, there was no tag teams that stood in my mind or that I really liked that much afterwards. I mean, you had people being paired up like the Rock and Sock, but I mean, if I had to really think about it, I think the best tag teams of the 90s era would have to be, you know, the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian. Those three right there, I mean, the matches they had with each other, you didn't even need any other tag teams because they just, you know, I think they set the bar for a lot of people that couldn't even surpass them even when they tried later on. I think, you know, if you had to pick anybody out, I think those are the names I'm going to pick out of a hat and say these guys were the best in the 90s. I know there was a lot of other tag teams, but I mean, just out of top of my head, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those three get a lot of credit for a revitalization, if you will, of the tag team and you know, tag team scene, and that was through their TLC matches and, you know, just their craziness. But that, once again, you had, in that instance, you had six guys who were like brothers, basically, that some were actually brothers, that went out there, they knew each other, like the back of their hand, and they put on just great performances every time that they were put together. But one tag team that I really was a huge fan for in the 90s was the New Age Outlaws.
All right.
You had, you know, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, and, you know, they came off. I really like the whole story where they were kind of floundering. They had bad gimmicks. They weren't really too great together. And then they put those guys together, and it was almost like a tryout for them to become, you know, to get into DX. And so they kept pushing the envelope, and that's whenever you saw them put, like, Terry Funk and Mankind in the dumpster and push him over the and I mean, it was so real. That moment stands out to me, that it was just, like, so amazing, and everybody was just shocked. And from that moment on, like, the New Age Outlaws were just, like, it for me.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know what the funny thing is too, is, like, you think of the New Age Outlaws, I think they wouldn't have been as far if they weren't teamed up with DX, you know, because I think DX really, you know, solidified them as a credible threat in a way, kind of, you know, like joining the NWO or something like that. They, by joining the DX, the New Age Outlaws were made. And if they never joined DX, I don't know how far they would have ever have gone. You know what I mean? That kind of gave them that opportunity to do more. And speaking of guys that were paired together, I mean, I know I talked about how the 80s were, you know, a lot more classic tag teams, but if you think about it again, I mean, you even have the Mega Powers were put together. Hulk Hogan and Macho Man. I mean, those are just two guys put together. But still, I mean, they were a lot bigger names than, you know, thinking about today. You had even Money Incorporated, you know, IRS and Ted DiBiase. The Foreign Legion, Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. I mean, there was big names that were paired together. But I'm still talking about, like, I still loved tag teams that were tag teams. You know what I mean? Hell, I'll even say the Body Donnas were a favorite of mine. You know what I mean? Like,
you shouldn't have said that.
I'm just throwing out a name, but you know what I mean. There's tons of guys, like, even like the APA, they were put together and they actually ended up having a good gimmick. I guess it's kind of one of those categories where it's like you throw a dart against the wall and wherever it sticks, you know, like, does it work or doesn't it work? You know, it's. It's one of those things that sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But I mean,
well, I think what's crazy now is, like, back then they tested all this stuff out at house shows, and there wasn't the internet, and the, you know, there were tape traders, and people could write down, like, what happened at a house show. But, like, yeah. I lived in Indiana, you lived up here, so you wouldn't necessarily know what was going on. Well, now, like, they can't really do that without people knowing because of the internet. So, like, if I go to a show tonight and I find out that they're teaming up Randy Orton and they're going to team up Seth Rollins, they're going to be a tag team now. Like, they can't really, if it doesn't really work out, they have nowhere to go with that. But if it works out, you know, everyone's already going to know that they're trying to put them together as a tag team. So I think the 80s were 80s and 90s, rather, were an easier time for them to kind of test the waters before they went crazy and say, okay, we're going to put a lot of money into these people. And, I mean, what was, I think, the best part about the 80s and 90s for me as a kid growing up and watching the product was a huge fan. And so when I found out that, you know, LJN and Hasbro were going to put out action figures of these tag teams that I love so much, it was amazing. And I would go down to, I think it was called the Children's Palace at the time, which sounds really wrong now, but it was a big toy store that preceded Toys R Us. And I would go down there and get my LJN figures, and I wish I had them all still because I'd be, you know, rich. But, I mean, like, the Rockers had their own tag team figures, the, you know, Legion of Doom, the Axe and Smash, and later Crush. So it was great. It was great just to see these different tag teams. They were all completely different styles. They weren't, you know, they all had different moves. They all had a signature tag team maneuver, which was really cool too, because
yeah, I love those. I love tag team finishers. Those are always great.
Yeah, and so, you know, whether it was the Legion of Doom, where they'd get the guy up the Doomsday Device, or, you know, the Rockers would just both kind of get on the corner of the turnbuckle and do a fist drop onto him. So, yeah. I mean, it was great. It was a lot of tag team chemistry. What my favorite thing was, too, is whenever the heel tag team would have the ref distracted and they would just tag in and out, but they wouldn't even tag. Like, one of them would be, you know, far away from their partner and they would just clap. And the ref would hear that clap and think, oh, they just tagged. So then the next guy would sneak in. So, you know, I miss stuff like that. And I think that every now and then that if you could just tease us, if these wrestling companies could just throw back to a simpler time like that, those are the little nuances and things that I miss about pro wrestling today. I mean, I still am a huge fan, obviously, but, like, I think that some of those things, managers and stuff like that, are definitely a big part of what I think is missing with professional wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I mean, these tag teams, like you said, like, things that are missing, they have so many guys. Just let's talk about WWE alone. So we could talk about the whole world if you want to, but we're talking about WWE tag teams right now, to where you have so many guys coming up from NXT. You have so many guys on the roster who aren't doing anything. You really need to just look at your roster, look at, okay, we really can't do anything with him as a singles guy anymore. You know, granted, whoever it is, who could we tag him with and make an awesome team with? They could make so many good tag teams and keep them tag teams for a while, you know, and keep that going. And it's a shame today to where it's like, we have the Usos, and then, okay, we have the Wyatts now, which are awesome as a tag team force. But then, like, I mean, there's a few more tag teams. I don't even want to mention the L word and the little bull that comes with it. But, I mean, real tag teams, you know what I mean? Like, you have so many other guys you could be teaming up and making a great tag team division, and it's a shame sometimes because you got a lot of guys just sitting in the locker room not doing anything, and it's like, you're not going to be the next Hulk Hogan. You're not going to be the next John Cena. Let's do something creative with you. Let's make great teams, classic teams. Hell, reinvent the Legion of Doom. Give guys shoulder pads with spikes, you know, something that sets them apart from everybody else. And that's what kind of sucks today, is that you have all this talent, yet they don't know what to do with them. And it really comes down to is, like, are you a good singles wrestler? Or would you make a better tag team wrestler? You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what happens with a lot of the roster today is, you know, they get left behind because the creative doesn't know what to do with them. Hire us. We know what to do with them, you know? And I feel like it gets frustrating, right?
Yeah. You know, like, right now, I was at Money in the Bank, and I saw the first real, like, pay-per-view match between the Usos and the Wyatt family, and people were so into it. Like, it was a great match, and they just had another great match. And, you know, I think that they've got some – they can go with this for a little bit. But what's always crazy to me is the fact that, you know, back whenever we're talking 80s, 90s or whatever, there was so many tag teams. And today we've been through it. There just aren't a lot of tag teams. But there were still kind of dream matches that you would get every now and then. So whenever you saw – Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys, I remember the first time that was even teased, and I thought, this is a dream. Like, this this can't happen. I can't, you know, I can't wait for this to happen. And when it did, it obviously was, it didn't let us down. But with the fact that there was ECW, WCW, and WWF, there was a lot of that. I wonder who would win if you put these people together versus these people or whatever. So when WWE bought ECW and WCW, we got those questions answered, even though the Dudleys and, you know, everybody else was already a part of WWF, but they kind of ran that angle where they were the ECW alliance. But, you know, today there's very little of that going on because there's only a couple of promotions left. So, you know, we've been talking about Northeast Wrestling, Wrestling and Other Stars, and we're actually going to get one of those rare dream tag team matches in the Hardy Boys versus the Young Bucks. So, you know, this is going to be a crazy match, and it's one that everybody wants to see. So, obviously, you know, tune back in to hear us talk about this after it's over. But, Credo, do you have any of those dream matches cooked up where you'd like to see a tag team go against another one?
Man, it's a good question. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, but that I think what you said right there is like a thing that WWE really needs to bring back. And I mean, granted, yes, NXT is great for building the next star and whatnot, or stars, but you really got to cater to some of the older fans out there and give us those dream matches. Like, I mean, there is talk with Spike canceling TNA and all this and that. And you have, well, you have the original Dudley Boys in there. You know, hell, bring them back for a tag team match. Have them go against somebody today. You know, things like that where teams are still around to where they could use them. I'm trying to think in my head. It's probably going to take me a little bit. But, I mean, that's what – I mean, what's great Northeast Wrestling is doing is that they're taking this dream match of the Hardys versus the Young Bucks and making it a reality. And WWE didn't even do that. Everybody knows that the Young Bucks, as soon as they debuted on TV anywhere, I was like, that's the Hardy Boys, like a different version of them. You know what I mean? So it's essentially like the Hardy Boys facing a younger version of themselves, the Young Bucks. I mean, who doesn't want to see that? The Bucks almost remind me a little bit of the Rockers back in the day. But I'm still thinking in the back of my head. I didn't forget your question of who I'd want to see in a dream match. And I honestly, that's the number one match that comes to mind, at least for a tag team match. I'd really have to look at like a sheet of paper with like everybody's name on it, see who's alive, see who's around to really get it, because I don't want to get my dreams worked up and figure out this guy lives in Seattle and this other guy is just, you know, dead. So I'd really have to look it up and figure out that question. Maybe I'll get back to you and I'll tweet you or something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing that really gets me is that WWE recently had hired Chris Hero, and he was in NXT for a while as Cassius Ohno, but then they let him go. And to which I said, oh no.
Oh, no.
But I really was excited for the possibility of pairing him and Cesaro back up, because in Ring of Honor they were a huge tag team, the Kings of Wrestling, and I could have seen them actually be the tag team, you know, give them the titles and let all the people come out of the woodwork to try to go against them, you know. But you brought up an interesting point. If TNA does, you know, doesn't get renewed, and I mean, you do have people like Beer Money, which is James Storm and Robert Roode. I mean, there's a lot of good – in Ring of Honor, you've got the Briscoe brothers. So there are still some tag teams that if brought to the WWE would maybe, you know, spark some dream matches. I would definitely be interested if the Hardys could come back, you know, at one point to WWE. Hardys versus Usos. I mean, really, it's brother and brother versus brother and brother. So
there
you go. That would be cool.
Yeah, man. And, like, that's the thing is, like – I honestly feel like I get it. I get why they do it, where they bring somebody in under contract, or, you know, they put them in an NXT, they change their name, and then they send them back off to something else. I don't know about you, but I personally hate where they take a guy, for example, like, I'm just going to say El Generico. They take him, they hire him. His gimmick was great. It was funny. They bring him in, give him a new name, take off the mask, and now he's a totally different guy. Don't get me wrong. He's an awesome wrestler. But I mean, it's like he builds a fan base being this character. Everybody knows him as this character. And then they take that guy and completely give him something else. And then it's like, then he has to get over again as somebody else. And it's like, I personally hate that, to where you have big names coming in, like guys that were just signed, Prince Devitt, you got Kenta, Kevin Steen possibly, which we haven't officially heard, but you know, he's pretty much there. Sammy Callahan, who's Solomon Crowe. You know, you have these guys who are so big on the indies, to where they bring him in, change his name, give him a different gimmick. I hate that, to where, like the Briscoes. I would love to see the Briscoes come into the WWE, but I'm afraid they're going to, you know, call them something else, and they're not going to have that same appeal. And that's what I kind of hate about it, to where if it's working already, why fix something that's not broke? You know, just enhance what they are right now. But like I said, before you email me and tweet me or whatever, I get why they do it, and I know why they do it, but I'm just saying it bothers me. Because you know what I mean? Like, you have something going so good with their name recognition. Why kill that? To give, you know, somebody else their product of their name, to where, you know, you could have had the Briscoes come in. You could have had, you know, all these other guys come in from other tag teams. I'm just saying, like, let's say the Young Bucks are hired from WWE. They're not going to be called the Young Bucks anymore. They're going to be called, you know, whatever. Even like the Wolves in TNA now, the American Wolves. They're not going to be called the American Wolves if they get hired. You know, it's going to be something different. And I think that's what kind of kills me, is the names. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about that? To where I know I could talk about this all day, but just at least tag team wise, if we kept it in the tag team realm.
Well, the one good thing that we all have seen is that fans don't, they don't forget. So even like you were mentioning El Generico, you know, Sami Zayn, you still hear in NXT the ole, ole, ole chants. So, I mean, I think that, you know, you mentioned also Kevin Steen. They were a huge tag team together. So I don't think that the fans are going to forget. And I still think that if they put in that time, like say the Young Bucks got signed with WWE, that the fans would still cheer for them and like them, even if they were called the old Badgers instead of the Young Bucks. But I think that I think that it's fine, and I think that over time the cream of the crop will, you know, rise. I don't know what happened with Hero, but I hope that he makes his way back, because especially right now it's a huge time for WWE, and it's a very exciting time. And dare I say, the next year of WWE is going to be, you know, even better than years in past, because we have a lot of good talent, a lot of young talent, a lot of hungry talent, and I think that's going to carry over into the product.
Yeah, definitely. And I have a little fun lightning round question for you.
You got it.
Now, we all know the whole Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty thing, where Shawn Michaels super kicked Jannetty through the barbershop window.
Yes.
And, you know, through time, everybody who would always pick, you know, are you Shawn Michaels or are you Marty Jannetty? So what I'm going to do is name some tag teams, and I want you to tell me who the Jannetty is on each team.
Okay, you.
Damn it.
Oh.
All right, well, before we get – I didn't even say us, so
okay.
We'll never really know that question, I guess. But let me give you some classic tag team names, and you tell me who is the Jannetty of each team, starting off. Legion of Doom.
I would say that Animal is the Jannetty, just because Hawk was so out of control that I absolutely loved him.
All right. The Steiner Brothers.
Oh, that is without question. Especially now, I think that Rick has to be the Jannetty.
The Body Donnas.
Does Cloudy count? Because Cloudy was... I think that we're going to go with Zip as the Jannetty.
All right. How about Billy and Chuck?
Oh, wow. Billy is the Jannetty, and I hate to even say that, because when he was put in other circumstances, he did really well on his own. But I was a huge in WCW Natural Born Thrillers mark, so I'm going to say that Chuck was the Michaels in that.
All right, how about the Bushwhackers, if you can even tell which one's which?
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to say that Luke was the Jannetty. Luke Jannetty.
All right, how about the Demolition?
Wow.
The Demolition, you know.
Demolition, if we're keeping it to Axe, Smash, Axe was definitely, my feeling was the Jannetty. Smash had so much more, you know, charisma. He later went on to be Repo Man and a billion other gimmicks, but I think that Smash, like, all I remember is him, like, laughing insanely on those, like, the Royal Rumble promos or whatever they were doing. He had the silver face paint. I mean, like, that was the kind of stuff that haunted my nightmares and dreams as a child, but I definitely think Smash was the HBK of the group.
All right. How about Strikeforce?
Wow. Wow. I'm going to say that Tito, this is the only time that this is ever going to be uttered, that Tito Santana was the Shawn Michaels of that group. I don't think Martel did a lot for Strikeforce, so I'm saying, you heard it here first, Shawn Michaels is equal to Tito Santana.
All right, how about the Natural Disasters?
Earthquake was the HBK in that, there's no question. Typhoon did nothing.
Could you imagine just seeing Earthquake super kick Typhoon through
the ground? Oh my God.
just take the Rockers down, put them in there. That would be a great classic situation.
Oh my God.
Let's see, who else can I think of? How about Too Cool?
Oh wow. that's a tough one. I would say, and it pains me to say this, but I would say that Brian Christopher was the Jannetty. I think that more people got over with Scotty Too Hotty and the Worm. I think that Brian Grandmaster Sexay was the Jannetty.
The Jannetty. All right, and my last one. Who is the Jannetty in the New Rockers? Was it Leaf Cassidy or Marty Jannetty?
Wow. I think, as far as that goes, Leaf Cassidy had to be the Jannetty. For the first time in Marty Jannetty's life,
Jannetty's not the Jannetty.
Jannetty's not the Jannetty. That is a very good... Wow. That is crazy. I never even thought about that.
It's like a dream inside a dream in a dream, like that movie.
Yeah, Inception.
It's like the Marty Inception.
Yes.
The Jannetty-ception.
Oh, my Jannetty God.
Jannetty inside of a Jannetty inside of a... Well, that's kind of weird, but... Yeah. Anyway, Marty Jannetty, no need to poke fun at you. I mean, he's a great guy. I met him a few years ago. Hopefully, we'll have him on the show, and maybe he can give us more about who he thinks are the Jannettys in each group.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, we were talking tag teams, and once again, Jonathan, we're getting excited because this weekend we have none other than Wrestling Under the Stars 3 at Dutchess Stadium in Beacon, New York. I think it's Beacon, New York. It's technically Fishkill Beacon. It's on the borderline, but it's there.
The Dutch.
The Dutch, guys. Look it up. Like, we talked some dream tag team scenarios, and this weekend we have none other than that. So I don't know where you guys are going to be this weekend, but Dutchess Stadium is going to be the place to be to see the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. What's your prediction for this match before we even talk to Matt?
I hate to say this, but I predict the world's largest superkick party being thrown at the Dutch, and I predict and hope that the Young Bucks come out on top of this one.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to say that the Hardys have been around a lot longer. They're probably a little bit more knowledgeable, and I think our boy coming up next, Matt Hardy, is going to get the pin and get the win and bring it back to Team Hardy. But guys, next up we have none other than Matt Hardy. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Matt, August 2nd, you and your brother Jeff compete in what is being called one of the last dream tag team matches there is. And in a recent interview, the Young Bucks state that, and I'm quoting here, the younger, better version of you is going to take you down. How do you respond to that?
I think that's adorable to actually believe that. It's very fun. It's very fun to listen to these guys. These guys are talented, but there's one thing about it. When they made the Hardy Boys, they broke the mold. And there will never be another Matt Jeff Hardy. We are an anomaly. There's never been a tag team that has performed over the course of 22 years on the level that we have. And whenever we walk into the arena that day on August 2nd, we'll show the Young Bucks why the originals are the best.
Awesome. Matt, you are currently the Ring of Honor Iconic champion. Now, for those of you who are listening who don't know what that is the innovative creator and originator of a newfound industry champion.
Good job.
Thank you.
You've done your homework.
Thank you. Yes, I have. So what's it like working for Ring of Honor right now?
It's been very enjoyable. Ring of Honor, I get to go there. There's a lot of new, young, upstart, very talented guys. And I'm kind of like the older guy that has been with WWE for many, many years, you know, for 13 years, and has been world traveled. And I kind of come in there as a big star. So for me, it's very creatively rewarding because I get to do a different role, something that I always get to do. I kind of get to be the big shot when I'm there. And to go in and work with these young, talented guys is a lot of fun. And also, it's very creatively rewarding because I get to play a different role. I get to be the big bad guy.
All right, yeah. Matt, so you've worked in just about every promotion during your tenure in professional wrestling. What do you still have left to accomplish in the business?
I don't know. I really, I'll be honest. When I'm asked that question, I don't set an end game. I don't have like a final goal that I'm wanting to accomplish. I mean, really right now, I just want to be happy. I want to be creatively satisfied and you know, I want to be as healthy as possible. So I just try and maintain and dictate a schedule where I allow my body time to recuperate, especially getting a little bit older. But I just try and contribute to the business, and I try and help out younger guys, and I try and give back now because I feel like I have gotten a lot of great things out of this business, so I feel like it's my obligation to give back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so since you're still very actively competing on the independent level, on the pro level, who really grabs your attention right now, like on the independent level and then maybe on the professional level? Do you have any favorites right now?
I mean, there's several guys at, you know, Ring of Honor that really stand out. I mean, Jay Briscoe is amazing. I've worked with him quite a bit. Adam Cole, which became the guy that became almost my progeny, the guy that I took underneath my wing and I mentored him. He's amazing. Both of those guys are destined for superstardom, and they're both amazing. If you haven't seen Jay Briscoe or Adam Cole, one of the first things I would do is to check these guys out because I highly recommend both of them.
That's awesome. So what about the pro level, like let's say TNA, WWE, anybody there that's really caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, now that I'm kind of, you know, been working with Ring of Honor, but also TNA as well, like, you know, I think EC3, I think Ethan Carter has done great. I think Rockstar Spud is a very entertaining guy. I'm a fan of Austin Aries. I think he does great stuff. TNA has an extremely talented roster, and they have a lot of great young guys. I think TNA is just really trying to find their niche, and if they can find their niche, I think they have, you know, they have all the elements to be great. You know, they just have to kind of figure out what their niche is and what they are exactly.
Sure. All right. Matt, there's some big stories happening this year. You know, we had the streak ending. We had CM Punk quitting. Is there anything that's happened this past year that maybe made Matt Hardy say wow, or anything that has shocked you recently that's happened in the business? Maybe we can get your point of view on?
Yeah, I'll be honest, man. It's funny you would ask that just because I said, you know, a couple years ago, nothing really shocks me anymore. Like the one great thing about wrestling, especially professional wrestling, is because it is a bit of a controlled sport, and kind of it's entertainment to a degree. Like anything can happen, and anything is possible. So truly, almost nothing shocks me nowadays. I'm always excited to see what the next big thing is. You know, anything can happen in pro wrestling. That's what makes it so fun.
You said it, yeah.
Okay, so you've won in WWE. Let's just say tons of championships. You won the ECW championship, the United States Championship, Hardcore, European, and Cruiserweight Championships. Now, this is just the singles titles that we're talking about. So, during your run in WWE, which one of those really like meant the most to you? I mean, obviously, they all had a special place for you, but what out of all of those do you think is your crowning singles run in WWE?
I mean, you know, man, as a singles champion, it was really important when I first won the United States title. That was a big deal because that was my first major singles title. And obviously when I was on the ECW brand and I became the ECW Heavyweight Champion and I was like the representative of the brand, that was very important. But even looking past that, I mean, those are singles titles, obviously. When you go back to that first ever World Tag Team title I won, that was my brother and I, that was our dream. When we were kids and we wanted to be in the business, you know, our goal was to one day be the WWF WWE Tag Team Champions, and that happened. And, you know, anything past that was extra credit. So that was a really special moment. But, you know, going forward, the U.S. title was very important. The ECW title was important. And, you know, now currently I hold 7 heavyweight titles across regional promotions, you know, across the United States. So, you know, I enjoy winning titles, and it's very important. But it's almost like one of those things, like in wrestling, it's like winning the Oscar or, you know, winning an Academy Award, because it just shows that you are the best at what you're doing currently, you know, and that's one thing that's a lot of fun. That's almost how I look at it now as far as winning a championship. It's like you are deserving and rewarding of being the best in your field at that chosen time.
All right. Matt, we also recently spoke with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he mentioned that you and Rebby Sky recently filmed Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies with him. How did you guys end up joining the cast, and anything funny maybe happened on set?
Man, it's always a blast with Hacksaw. You know, Hacksaw's such a great guy. I can't say enough good things about him. You know, we were kind of in and out. We actually had travel issues one day, so we were supposed to shoot 4 days originally. We had to kind of pack everything in 3 days. A lot of fun though. One of the coolest things I thought with Hacksaw was when it was all said and done. He was the guy that finally, after I got bit by a zombie and affected and became a zombie, Hacksaw was the guy that finally put the death stroke on me. So you know, that was a very sentimental moment for us, and also a special moment. But we also laughed about it in many ways. Pro Wrestlers vs. Zombies is one of those things. It's almost like a very campy 80s horror movie where you go in and you don't watch it too seriously. It's also quite a comedy as well as being a horror, but you just kind of go into it with an open mind and have a good time. It's a fun movie to watch.
That's awesome. You're responsible for several of the greatest matches of all time. With the WWE Network, people now get to go back and see a lot of your matches, not to mention new fans that maybe have never seen any of your matches before. So if you were telling somebody, hey, you just got the network, these are the matches of mine that you should watch, are there any that you have that you could suggest to people?
Well, that's a good question. I would say go back and watch, go back and watch some of the early Hardy Boys and watch how we kind of parlayed, especially me, over time to being a more solid wrestler and overall performer, like especially after 2005 when I came back after being gone with ACL surgery, and I worked against Edge. Those were some classic matches. Into the whole program with MVP, I actually felt like I was a very solid performer, especially from a psychology standpoint at that point. Because one thing I'm trying to stress to new guys now is wrestling isn't necessarily about the moves and how great of a move you can do, or how, you know, impressive of a move you can do. It's really about the moments, because that's what pro wrestling's about. It's not about the move, it's about the moment, because those moments are what last forever, and that's what a casual fan always remember. When you go back and think about Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair, they had a great match at WrestleMania, and they did a lot of really cool stuff, especially Shawn Michaels, but the moment that everyone remembers there is when Shawn's about to super kick him, and he looks at Rick and he says, "I'm sorry, I love you," and then he super kicks him. Those moments are what wrestling is all about.
Great, Matt. I mean, you said once again, too, with the Hardy Boys. I mean, on August 2nd, once again, you're teaming up with your brother to face the Young Bucks. How does it feel to be able to not only be doing what you love, but to be tagging with your brother Jeff once again for this show?
I mean, every time Jeff and I team up, it's like magic. I mean, it truly is. I think the older we get, the more we appreciate it. And we're both very comfortable with who we are in our lives. And, you know, I feel like we found victory in life and being, you know, comfortable within our own skin. And every time we get together and team up, it's truly special. I mean, the easiest way for me to describe it is magic. And the Young Bucks are a great team. You know, I know they watched the Hardy Boys when they were coming up. They watched the Rockers when they were coming up, and they were inspired by both teams. But once we get the chance to, you know, have the past generation versus the current generation, we're still going to show them we're not ready to hand over the crown quite yet.
All right. So, speaking of Jeff, you both created Omega, and for once again, for the fans out there that are just tuning in, or maybe they haven't heard of Omega, it is the Organization of Modern Extreme Grappling Arts. And, you know, once you guys have finished with wrestling, have you ever given any thought to maybe reviving your promotion or even creating, like, your own school? I know a lot of people, like Curt Hawkins, just, you know, he just opened a school. So have you guys given any thought to that?
Oh, man, you're a little bit behind the curve. Omega's back already. It's been revived.
Oh, well.
We've been doing some ring of shows. Right now, because I've stayed so busy between my schedule, between just doing independent appearances and doing Ring of Honor and TNA, the Hurricane, Shane Helms, is actually kind of actively running it. Obviously, I have input into it and kind of a creative job in it. But Omega's up and running. Our next event is September 20th, actually, in Smithfield, North Carolina. But we've had some amazing stuff there. Myself and Jeff, we had a dream match against the Briscoes a while back, which sold out of the arena, and it was an amazing match. Truly, truly great stuff. And that match is available on the Omega DVD, which you can get at shopmatthardy.com right now.
Awesome. Matt, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask this. Now, I mean, you're in Ring of Honor, you're in TNA, but I think one of the biggest questions a lot of people always like to ask or want to know is that, will we ever see Matt or Jeff back in the WWE?
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. I really do. You know, I think a lot of this timing, currently just under contract in TNA. I work with TNA, but I'm a free agent. I'm under contract. But I think when it's all said and done, I think that, you know, the Hardy Boys will ride off into that one last midnight to the sunset and go down into the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I think that is something that is kind of inevitable.
All right, guys. Well, you just heard from none other than Matt Hardy. Jonathan, I mean, I'm excited for this weekend. What about you?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to be there. We're going to be out in full force, another wrestling podcast at Northeast Wrestling's Wrestling Under the Stars. We'll be bringing you tons of new interviews and great content. Once again, we'd like to thank Northeast Wrestling for being so hospitable. And, you know, check them out, northeastwrestling.com. And, you know, we mentioned that they are our sponsor this week. And if you have thought about being a sponsor for another wrestling podcast, Credo, how can they do that?
That's a good question. You can hit us up on Gmail at another wrestling podcast. So another wrestling podcast at Gmail. Shoot us a message. Tell us you want to be a sponsor, and we'll sponsor you on our show. But if you forget the email, just Google another wrestling podcast. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. On Twitter, at A Wrestling POD. That's A Wrestling Pod, because that's all the words I could fit into the characters that they gave me. So A Wrestling Pod is us. Just Google us on iTunes. Google Another Wrestling Podcast on iTunes. And if you don't have iTunes, we're on Stitcher. And if not, you can find out where all of our media is coming from, and that's coming from Podbean. But that's just where we're hosting. But if you really want to get down to the dirt of it, we're on marksforlife.net, so be sure to check out all that stuff. Just Google it. That's what it's there for, you know what I'm saying? But another big shout-out to Michael Lombardi and his company, Northeast Wrestling, northeastwrestling.com, guys. We'll see you this weekend. Another great show, Jonathan. And, hey, we did tag teams this week. We are actually we could be possibly one of the greatest tag teams around in the podcast realm.
All I have to say is that you never tag me in. So this entire time, you've been, you know, I'm looking for the hot tag right now. So,
well, here we go, Jonathan. What other way to leave the show than with a tag, baby?
Another wrestling podcast.